series called The Lord's Prayer. And today, the Lord's Prayer is not something that we quote. I mean, I hope you memorize it and teach your children. We found out, I learned it in the locker room, found some of the people in our church learned it when they was in first grade. I wish it was still back in school. We need to get it back in school. But it's actually a model or a pattern of Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. The disciples didn't ask him, Lord, how did you do miracles? How did you do that sign? How did you do that wonder? How did you heal that person? They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so what we can deduct from that is they understood where the power of God was coming from was through Jesus' prayer life. And he had a private prayer life with his Father. He prayed in secret. He didn't pray in public where everybody could hear him all the time. He also had a secret prayer life. And Jesus said, don't be, you know, like the hypocrites or the religious people and be, you know, just pray to be seen in public. You know, have a secret time of prayer, your prayer life with the Lord in secret. And you can do it. You can have your prayer closet like the Word talks about, or I pray in my pickup a bunch. My pickup is my prayer closet. And so but just have that alone time with the Lord. Jada, she was telling me the other day, she had to walk without me one day when I wasn't at home, and she said I had a great prayer walk. You can walk and pray. Just have that secret time of prayer with the Lord. And then he said, don't use vain repetitions, meaning just, you know, don't be quoting a whole lot of, like the heathen do, just, you know, just repetitious stuff. And basically what he was saying is, I want to hear what's in your heart. And I want you to talk to me that way. Keaton was talking to me the other day, and he was telling me how he went fishing the other day. Said he was at home. He's got his own house now. He's a bachelor. He's looking for a wife, by the way. Okay. Uncle Mark's giving him a plug. But he said, you know, he goes, I was at home one day, and I was just alone. And he said, I decided I wanted to go fishing, so I went fishing. And he goes, and I was just sitting out there all by myself, and I saw a picture of the pond that he was at. He went fishing. Actually, it's the old Haney Pond out here east of town. And he said, Mark, I just sat out there and I just talked to God like he was sitting right there with me. And I said, that's exactly how you do it, you know, just having that conversation with the Lord. But so this is how to use the Lord's Prayer. I found this and I thought it was really good because it's actually a model. And so what Jesus was teaching us on how to use the Lord's Prayer is start with praise and worship, pray God's will be done, pray for your needs and others, confess and ask for forgiveness. We talked about that last week, and the Lord did some deep things here last Sunday because unforgiveness is a door opener to the enemy. It's the number one door opener. And the Lord was really, you know, setting people free last Sunday. And during our prayer time, we're going to have prayer time at the end of this message as well. And guys, what the Lord showed me was that unforgiveness, the Bible teaches, can cause a root of bitterness. And so what I saw in the Spirit last Sunday was a lot of family trees starting to straighten back up and getting that root of bitterness out of there. And so that was, it was beautiful, and the Lord's presence was really here. So ask or confess and ask for forgiveness. Number 5 goes with that, ask for help forgiving others. Then number 6 is what we're going to talk about today, is pray for safety and deliverance. And then next Sunday, on Palm Sunday, we're going to talk about the praise and worship, ending with praise and worship. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're going to read Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, the Lord's Prayer. This is right in the middle. It's like right in the center of the Sermon on the Mount. So, you know, we can deduct from that the Lord wants prayer to be the center part of your life. And so it says here, this is what Jesus was teaching the disciples. He's teaching us today. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's what we're going to talk about today. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everybody said, amen. When I first read that, I was like, Lord, are you serious? Did you say to pray to you to not, are you going to lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one? When I first read that, and here's the best way to translate this. I'm going to do it in a redneck version. It's basically what this is saying is, Lord, don't, it's more that word, you know, and lead us not means don't permit this to happen, don't allow this to happen. So, Lord, don't allow me to get into a situation where I fall. I'll say that again. Lord, don't allow me to get into a situation where I fall. Every one of us in here, we were born in with this Adamic nature, this fallen nature. None of us in here are above sin. We're above temptation. Sin starts with temptation. We're going to learn that here in just a second. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But here's two ways we are tempted. The Bible teaches two ways that we're tempted. We're tempted by the devil. That's the enemy of our soul. And we're also tempted by our sinful flesh. And so that's why the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. You got to crucify this flesh. You got to have a flesh fry. And the enemy's, the devil's ministry is temptation. And if he can tempt you, then he can come in and steal, kill, and destroy. His ultimate goal is to destroy you, destroy your witness, everything about you. So you got to be on guard. We got to guard our heart. Look at somebody say, guard your heart. I'm getting way ahead of myself. I'm just full this morning because the Bible doesn't teach follow your heart. It says follow Jesus. Big difference. The world says follow your heart, do whatever your heart tells you to do, and that junk is seeping into the church, and it needs to get out in Jesus' name. We got to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches to crucify our flesh. I'm not going to go in depth in these because I want you to study these out on your own. But in Acts chapter 5, I'm going to show you how serious temptation is, and I'm going to talk about number one, the devil. In Acts chapter 5, by the way, this is New Testament. It talks about that Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Lord. Actually, the Apostle Peter said, Satan has tempted you to lie to the Holy Spirit. And they lied about money. And if you'll go read this story in Acts chapter 5, I probably should put it up there, but in Acts chapter 5, they died in church, and they carried them out. And this is New Testament. And I'm like, that's a way to get tithes and offerings up right there. There you go. Let's try that, Lord. That's a joke, by the way, okay? But in all seriousness, I mean, I was reading it, and I was like, Lord, that's New Testament. That's not Old Testament. That's New Testament. That's after the cross. That's after Jesus ascended. That happened, and it's because the Apostle Peter pointed out that they weren't just lying to man, they were lying to God. And that's what caused that to happen. Then there's another person in Scripture, Judas Iscariot, in Luke 22 verse 3. I'll give you the two scripture references of this. Luke 22 verse 3 and John 13 verse 2 is it says that when he betrayed Jesus, it says that Satan entered into him to do that. And how it entered into him was through greed. Okay? So that's something that you need to get under the blood, laid at the foot of the cross, greed. Greed will cause you to lie, steal, do all kinds of stuff. You need to get greed in check. Then there's the story of the flesh, one of the best examples that, and I know a lot of men here deal with this, and I'm going to talk about this today, but this was Joseph in Genesis chapter 39, and this was with Potiphar's wife. And rather than stay, and I want you to hear the wisdom of Joseph, rather than stay in a potentially dangerous situation and try to talk, reason, justify, explain, or otherwise weaken his resolve, Joseph took off. In fact, he took off so fast, the Bible says he left his coat. All right? It's better to leave your coat than your character. And he said, he ran from that situation. He ran from it. And some of the guys in here that went with me during the fall to a men's conference, we heard, and I know John Copta wouldn't mind me sharing this story, but John's a great guy. He's a traveling minister. He used to be on the power team back in the 80s. He was talking about, he was being very real with us men, and he was talking about a divorce that he had had, went through a divorce, and he talked about his own faults in that, and he said, I was trying to, I'm living clean and trying to do the right thing. He said, and I was flying somewhere, and he said, and as I was getting off the flight, he said, during the flight, I noticed the flight attendant, and he said, she was very pretty, and he said, and as I was getting off the plane, she handed me a note. And he said, I really didn't know what, he goes, this is how long I've been out of the game. He goes, I really didn't know what she was doing and what the note said. He said, so I took the note, and he goes, and I'm walking to my car, and went and got his bags, and he said, I'm walking to my car with my bags, And he said, I thought, well, I'm going to look at this note. And the note basically gave him her phone number and told her what hotel she was staying at and what room number, and come be with her. And he said, my first thought, and he goes, and I had to arrest that thought and take it captive to the obedience of Christ, but my first thought was, who's going to know? Nobody's going to know. I can do this, and nobody's ever going to know. And he said, I went and got in my car, and he said, and the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and says, but I know. And he said, and I just broke. He said, I just started weeping and repenting before God and asking him to get that thought out of my mind. And he came out of that situation clean because he ran from it, just like Joseph did. And so I'm going to take this apart today, and we're going to get real in church today. Amen? All right, number one, in this first half of it, he says, lead us not in temptation. The inclusion of a request for God not to lead us into temptation teaches us that avoiding temptation should be one of the primary concerns of the Christian life. It is a matter of continual war. And so basically what this is telling us, don't put yourself in situations that are going to cause you to be tempted. We can solve a lot of our problems with our flesh if we make pre-made decisions and then stick to them, okay? All right, so this phrase then must be understood in the sense of, and I've already talked about this, of permitting. And so Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, do not allow us or permit us to be tempted to sin. This request implies that God has such control over the tempter, which is Satan, as to save us from his power if we call upon our Heavenly Father. And everybody said, amen. I saw one illustration, and a pastor said, he said, you need to pray, Lord, don't take me down the candy aisle. How many of you got kids in here? All right, go shopping. Mamas, I see Lindsay's over here shaking her head. Mamas, what do? You avoid the candy aisle because you know it's going to cause fights. It's going to cause problems. They're going to want everything on each side, and you're never going to get out of the store. And so every one of us in here are tempted in different ways. You have a candy aisle. And you need to pray, Lord, I don't want to go down the candy aisle today. Don't let me go down the candy aisle. And everybody said, amen. Okay, give you a few things about temptations. Number one, it's not a sin to be tempted. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one, talking about Jesus, who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. So you can be tempted and not sin. And everybody said, but you're going to need the Holy Spirit's help. Matthew 26, verse 41 says, Jesus said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I can tell when my prayer life has not been where it should be, or I haven't been in the Word, because my flesh is weak. And I don't have that resolve within me. And so that's why Jesus was saying, you need to watch and pray, and so that you not fall into temptation. Okay, here's number two. You're never above temptation. You're never above it. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord, how close you are to the Lord, you're never above temptation. Every one of us. I just heard of a well-known pastor that just fell because he walked into temptation. And we're seeing you, and I know every one of you in here have heard about that. We've got to quit giving the body of Christ a black eye, and we've got to be taught this about how you overcome temptation. So you're never above it. The Apostle Paul said this in Romans 7, verses 22 through 23. He says, for in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Even the Apostle Paul had a hard time with it, okay? And that's why he said he had to die daily. Here's number three. God will never tempt you. God's never going to tempt you. Every temptation is an invitation to depend upon his power. And this is in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. God does not tempt. The tempter is the enemy, is the devil, is Satan. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Watch how this works. Then after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. starts with the temptation, leads to sin, leads to death. See how it works? That's how the but temptation is not the sin. That's where you take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is what I love about the Lord. There is always a way out. You can't say the devil made me do it, okay? That's hogwash. It don't even line up with the Word of God. There's always a way out. God always provides a way out. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. It says, "So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful." Everybody say, God is faithful. "He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when even if you get yourself in the situation. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." The way out for Joseph was running away from it. Wasn't standing there talking to it, was run. Okay? Romans 13:13-14. This is something that we all need to get better at. "Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather," he says, the Apostle Paul is telling us, "clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ." And you got to do this every day, putting on the armor of God. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Don't be thinking in your mind, Lord, is there a loophole, Lord, in your scripture? You know, how I can get away with this? There's not any loopholes. The loophole is go to the cross, crucify the flesh. And everybody said, amen. I have actually sat in my office with people over the years. Nobody here, so don't be looking around, okay? Sat in my office where people come into my office, and this is how good the enemy is at this trick, this temptation. I have had them sit down in my office and tell me the Lord has told them to divorce their spouse because they would be happier. I was like, that didn't come from Jesus. That's not the Lord talking. And everybody said, but they were convinced that they'd heard from God to do that. That's how much his voice sounds like. He can make himself sound like the Father. He masquerades as an angel of light, is what the scripture says. I found this when I was studying about temptation, and I thought, that's good. Free cheese is always available in mousetraps. And it is. And I heard a pastor say this one time. He says, better to shun the bait than struggle in the snare, or to struggle in the trap. So Matthew 6:13 is, I want you to understand this, Matthew 16 is spiritual warfare prayer for yourself. It means praying according to Scripture, trusting in the power of God, and submitting your will and my will to His. It is to pray that God will protect us from situations that would tempt us to sin, and it's a request that sin never gain a foothold in our lives. And the way you do this, and this is James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God. We all know this scripture, and most people will say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, you got to get the first part right. You got to submit yourself to God first. Then you can resist the devil, and then he's going to flee from you. And we can only resist temptation, avoid sin, and defeat the devil by a conscious reliance upon God's power. Just as we need to ask for daily bread for our physical needs, we need to ask for daily deliverance for our spiritual needs every day. All right, now we're going to go to the second part of this scripture. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is where I was telling you earlier, you need to follow the Lord, not your heart, okay? Along with leading us toward good, we understand that we're asking God to lead us away from evil. God, lead me away from evil, but lead me towards good. And I'm going to talk to you about your heart this morning. Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." Okay? Your heart is deceitful. If you're following your heart's going to deceive you eventually. You need to follow Jesus. I love what David said in Psalms 141:4. He says, "Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies." Lord, don't let my heart be drawn into what is evil. That's delivers from the evil one. That's what he's praying there. And this is how the Lord instructed me, to close our service out today, is we're going to have some time, and look, if you'll come and get on the piano, and we're just gonna be the body of Christ again, like we did last Sunday. And so, prayer partners, I need your help as well. And today, though, I am gonna ask you to come to the altar. Okay, last week we just stood where you was at, and we talked about it, and the Lord did an awesome thing here last Sunday, and I believe He's gonna do it again today, is because He's here. And he wants to give you the power to overcome temptation. Some of us in here, you've been caught up in something for so long, you've really decided in your mind, and it could be something in the flesh. It could be greed, it could be envy, it could be jealousy, it could be all these things. And I believe that every family tree has a bend towards something, because we all have been in that Adamic nature. And you've been caught up in something for so long, you're just like, Lord, I'm just going to have to live with this for the rest of my life. You're saved, but it's what the Bible calls a besetting sin. It's something that you try to get free from it, and then you go right back to it. You try to get free from it, you go right back to it. And this is what Hebrews 12 says. And I believe that just like God laid the axe last week, to unforgiveness, He's wanting to lay the axe to this, whatever it is. And I don't care how old you are. Young people, the Bible says to flee youthful lusts. Run from those things. And in Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. That's how you overcome. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm going to tell you, there's so much power in the cross and what Jesus endured for us. That's where sin lost its hold on you. But you've got to believe that by faith. And you've got to do what up there in verse 1, and I underline it. Throw it off, everything that hinders you, and the sin that so easily entangles. I guarantee if you've been walking with the Lord for any amount of time, you know what you need to throw off, and you know what's hindering you. And the reason why I know this is because the Holy Spirit's talking to you. He's telling you what it is. And we can talk about all the evil in the world today, and the government, and all that stuff, and there's lots of evil and lots of corruption outside these four walls, all right? But what God's wanting to do is He's wanting to talk about the evil within each one of us and getting our hearts right with Him. And whatever this besetting sin is, whatever this thing that keeps hindering you, whatever this thing that easily entangles you, like every time it shows up, you're running to it. And God's saying today that He goes, I want to give you power to overcome that. That's why I went to the cross. I didn't go to the cross so you could just have to continue to suffer with this. I want you to actually be free from it in Jesus' name. And Acts 3:19 says, and here's a word that we don't use a lot in the church anymore, is called repentance. And repentance is what brings the refreshing from God. So what this is basically telling us, we need daily repentance, I'm talking pre-repentance. Lord, forgive me, because I don't want to walk down the candy aisle, but if I do, forgive me, right? But here's the deal. God wants to give you so much power that you don't even think about the candy aisle. Amen? That's where I want to get. I'm so in such a hot pursuit of God that I want to be like Joseph, where he said, how can I do such a thing and sin against God? That's what he told her, because he was chasing God. And he could have justified everything. God's gave up on me. I'm in prison. I'm a slave. Who cares anymore? But Joseph was still so after God that he said, Lord, how can I do such a thing and sin against you? And so I'm asking you today, if there's something in your life that you need to repent of, that you need to throw off, or the one thing that the Holy Spirit's saying that's hindering you, let's stop this. Help me help you overcome that, and help me help you not to even think about it anymore. I want you to come up here to this front up here. It can be anything. It could be anything, okay? I want us to get serious with God this morning. Also, the Lord told me something else today when we was during worship, is that there's some people here that are, you're battling anxiety, and God wants to set you free from that. The Bible talks about that we're supposed to cast all of our cares upon the Lord, and then we'll be free, okay? And I've done that before. God, I cast all my cares upon you, and then I walk out and I still have the burden because I really didn't cast them, all right? And so that part of that throwing off, some of you in here have been just burdened with anxiety and causing panic attacks. That comes from a spirit of fear, by the way. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And I believe in the ministry of laying on of hands, and that's what we're going to do today as prayer partners and myself. So if this is speaking to you this morning, the Holy Spirit is saying, but you might be saying, but Pastor Mark, it's a Sunday morning. I don't care. That's the best day to get free. Amen? All right? We're all family here. I don't care what you're struggling with. You even may be in leadership in the church or leadership in the community. I want you to get up here, okay? I'm going to quit talking, all right, because the Holy Spirit's telling which one of you need to be up here. Now, I just want you to be obedient, okay? Obedience is what brings the blessings of God. God's not calling you to come up here to, for everybody's back here going, golly, I knew that was a sinner. Hey, we're all a sinner, amen? And we all need God. We all need him. So if you're dealing with something, I want you to come up here this morning. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God is good. And all the time, Jade, will you stay up here with me? We're going to speak the blessing over you guys. God is so good. Just setting people free. And I just felt like there was just, God, just so good. God is just so good. I can't put it in words. I can say it in tongues, but I can't say it in words. It's just so awesome what he was doing up here. I could just sense some deep things happening. And you're throwing off those things and letting the Lord know that, Lord, I know that this is hindering me and I want to throw it off. And when we voice that, then God's grace shows up. Amen. And I just love God's love and grace, because love covers a multitude of sins. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to stand up in here this morning. And Jade and I are going to speak this blessing over you today. And this is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and tell them how much you love them. We'll see you guys next Sunday. Have a blessed week.
Things are getting real. Jesus, take the wheel. Only way I'm getting to the other side. Days are getting dark. Life's a little hard. Blinded, but I'm trying not to.